It's good to be here this morning. I've had to be out quite a bit. My mother-in-law passed away in June, and I want to thank you all for praying for her and the family during that time. It was a very difficult time. A lot of songs have been sung this morning about meeting the Savior, and for all of you all who have not met him, you're really missing out. And once he touches you, you're never the same. And after he touches you, this song is should be your desire. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all harm. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me shall be no more. Guide me safely, gently o'er, to thy peaceful shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Dear Lord, let it be.
Will you all sing with me the chorus?
Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is our plea. Daily walking close to thee. Dear Lord, let it be.
Thank you.
Bless you, Sister Carol. Appreciate that good song. I want to ask you if you would to turn and read with me in the third chapter of the book of Genesis. I want to begin reading with the first verse, and I want to read probably about the first 10 verses or so. Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. But before I read, I want to make just a few comments. You may have situations in life. There may be people that sometimes, for various reasons, you may just rather not hear from them. Somebody calls you to try to sell you something that you're not even remotely interested in, but somebody's calling to try to sell that to you. Somebody's calling your phone number, maybe when you're at home and you're trying to relax or something. They're wanting you to give money to something that you don't even believe in or that you don't support. And, you know, we have all types of calls that come to us from people. Sometimes I get, you know, calls from people that I love to just sit and talk with them. There are many things I want to hear. Some things I don't want to hear. But what I want to talk to you about today, and I want to go ahead and give the title of my message, and that is When God Comes Calling. And I'll tell you what, when God begins to talk to you, when God calls you, you better listen. You better listen to what He's telling you. And so I want to begin reading with Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now listen to what verse 9 tells us. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. I'm going to read one more verse. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And that's reading the first 11 verses of Genesis chapter 3 here this morning. Now, I want to, for us to look at a couple of things here before I go any further concerning God calling to Adam, God speaking to Adam. And if we go back into the first chapter of the book of Genesis, really in the first and second chapters, I believe, we will find there that this was not the first time, and I want you to make note of this, that when Adam, in these verses here that I have read, that we have the account of here in the third chapter of Genesis, Adam told God, he said, We heard your voice. I heard your voice. The Bible says they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And he said, I heard your voice and I was afraid. But this was not the first time that Adam had heard the voice of God. God had told him things before that time. God had told Adam and Eve things before that time. And we don't have any record before this that when they heard the voice of God that they were afraid. We don't find anywhere that they were afraid of hearing from God until we begin to read about it here in the third chapter of Genesis. God had told them before to, God had blessed them and he had told them to be fruitful and to multiply. That's something that they had heard God speak to them before this time. God had also instructed Adam before this time that of all the trees of the garden, he was allowed to freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he was not to eat of that tree, because in the day that he ate of it, he would surely die. So this instruction had come down from God unto Adam before this time. So Adam had heard the voice of God. And suddenly we find here in these verses that we read that when he hears God speaking to him, he's afraid. In fact, he's so scared of that, and rightfully so. I'm going to tell you that Adam was rightfully afraid of God at this point. He should have been. Because of what he had done, he should have had great fear in his heart when he heard the voice of God. But I want you to know today, and I want to go ahead and make this statement because I want to make this point today, that God is still calling people today. God hasn't stopped talking to his creation. God still calls out to people today. I have heard in my lifetime God speak to me. And you can say, well, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, I'll be honest with you. I, to the best of my knowledge, I have never heard God speak audibly to my ears. But I have certainly heard him speak many, many times. And so he still calls to people today. Now, I want us to notice something else in this, that we find that really the reason that they were hiding from God was because they had sinned. They had done that which God had instructed them not to do. And I think that many of us today here, we can relate to this in our own life. We remember a time, I know I certainly do, I remember a time back when I was a child that I would go and I would sit among church services. I've told you before, I don't remember in my life not going to an old-time missionary Baptist church. I grew up this way and was always taken to these services. And I remember a time in my life when it was no big deal at all for me to go to a church service. Well, I would sit right there among those people and I would, you know, when they sang and when they got happy and shouted or whatever it was, it didn't bother me whatsoever. I remember a time in my life when it was not bothersome to me at all. But then I also remember a time in my life when it became a very fearful thing to me. When the saints would begin to rejoice and the preacher would begin to preach, suddenly I found that I was not very comfortable among those people. I was not very comfortable among whom I felt moving among those people, and it was frightful to me. And suddenly I was afraid, and there was an invisible force, an invisible power that was dealing with my heart that I was afraid of. And I want you to know something today, and I've heard this statement made all my life that you can't scare somebody into salvation. And I'll tell you what, I still don't know how I feel about that. If you're lost and without God, you ought to be afraid. Amen. David was afraid, wasn't he? He was afraid. The sorrows of death compassed him. The pains of hell got hold upon him. He found trouble and sorrow. He was afraid of those things that he was feeling. Adam was afraid. And again, I say he was rightfully afraid. But you know, when God called to him, and we find that because of this, because of what they had done and realized that they were guilty, you see, you can go back before this time and you can read about how that they were naked and they weren't ashamed. They didn't think anything about it. Adam and Eve, they were naked there in the garden and thought nothing about it. But suddenly we find Adam telling God that he said, I was naked and I was afraid. I was scared. Suddenly everything was different. And so when God called to Adam, and here's what I want, one of the main points that I wanted to try to make in this today, and you pray for me. When God called unto Adam and said, where are you, Adam? Where art thou? I'm convinced of this, that he was not interested in just having Adam answer to where he was geographically located. God was asking him more than that. And if we see, if we read the response that Adam had to this, I believe that he understood that. Because when God called to Adam and said, "Where art thou?" Adam didn't jump up and say, "Surprise, God, here I am. I'm right here behind this tree." It wasn't his physical location that he gave to God. You read what Adam's response was. "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." You see, he gave to God, when God asked him where he was, he gave God the answer of things that were that he was feeling in his heart. And I'm convinced that truly that's what God was asking him. When God said, "Adam, where are you?" I believe God was asking him, "Where do you now stand with me? Where are you with me spiritually, not just physically?" God wasn't, in fact, honestly, God already knew it all anyway, didn't he? You know, God asks things of us and God calls out to us at times, and he already knows what the answer is. God knows everything. There's nothing that's hid from his mind. He knew where Adam was. He knew whatever tree it was that Adam was hid behind, as far as that goes. But he wanted this man to answer for himself. "Adam, tell me where you are. Tell me where you stand." You know, I believe that God calls people to account for their sins. It's not my place to do that. It's no other person's place to do that. It is not our place as people to delve into and deal with the hearts of men. That's something that God does. It's not for me to tell a person when they become lost. That's not for me to do. That's not my job. That's not my responsibility. And to be honest with you, I'm glad that it's not, because I don't have the capability to perform it anyway. I can't see your heart. I can't see what's going on down inside of you, but God can. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. Sinner, listen, let me tell you something today. You may hide things from me. You may hide things from other people, but you're not going to hide anything from God. When God comes calling, when he comes calling, he wants you to answer him. I'll tell you what, it's dangerous. It is dangerous to try to hide from God. You know, he wants to help you today. God doesn't desire to hurt you. God doesn't desire to harm you. You know, sometimes, and if the devil has his way in your mind, if you allow the devil to have his way, he'll convince you of this. But some people may question, "Well, why do you stand up there and preach the things that you do? It makes me feel bad. Why do you tell me about an eternal hell? It makes me feel bad. It makes me afraid." But listen, friends, today you need to know the truth. You need to know the truth, and the truth needs to be preached. And you need to know that if you don't repent and turn to God and trust him with all your heart and find salvation, you will spend an eternity in that place. You will spend an eternity in hell, separated from God, with no hope, again, of ever, no hope from that point of ever being redeemed. Where are you today? When God calls to you today, you know, there have been, and I told you that there have been various times in my life when God has called out to me. God called me to account for my sins one day. God made me realize that I was lost and separated from him, that I was accountable before him for my sins. Did God do that to you? Amen. You remember that day? You remember that time in your life when God called you to account for your sins and made you realize that suddenly there was something wrong? You know what Adam realized about his relationship with God? Suddenly there was something very different, wasn't there? Before he could talk to God, God could talk to him. Before Adam could have this sweet communion with God, and it didn't bother him when God would come to him there in the garden and talk with him and commune with him and command things to him. It didn't bother Adam, but this time suddenly was something was very different. He heard God's voice calling unto him, and it scared him so bad that he ran and he hid himself away from God. Lost friend, I want you to know something today. My heart goes out to you here this morning. You need to be saved. You need to find the Lord. You need to find forgiveness, because you are living, if you're lost today, and I hope that all of us today here, really both saved and lost alike, will realize today how serious this is. Listen, church, we have people that are sitting here this morning among us. They're lost and separated from God. And just as sure as you're sitting here today, they're headed for hell. They're bound for eternal damnation and torment. And I would to God that we would do everything that we could today, that we would preach the truth, that we would pray for them, that we would reach out to them as the Spirit of God would direct us, that we might try everything today that God would have us to do to convince them that they need to be saved. Lost friend, you need to be saved. You need to forget about everything else. You need to forget about what you may have to do this afternoon. Listen, if you're here today and you're lost, I want you to know this today, that whatever you've got, if you've got a job to go to later on, if you've got a party, some kind of party to go to later on this evening, a birthday party or whatever, whatever that you may have planned, I want you to know something. You need to just dismiss all of that today and think about your soul. We let the world distract us too much. I hope today that there's nothing as important to you as getting right with God, taking the time to come before the Lord. I remember one time, and I've shared this with you before, I'll never forget it. I remember one time when I had just turned 26 years old, and I was in Indianapolis, Indiana, working my job there at Western Electric, packaging telephones, standing there. I worked on a conveyor that the telephones would come down the conveyor, and it was my job to take them off and package them in a box and get them ready to ship. And standing there one day, as I had many days, standing there packing those telephones in boxes, standing there on that conveyor one time, nobody else heard it. As far as I know, there was nobody else around me that heard it, but I heard it. There, standing there doing that job one day, God called to me. He spoke to me from heaven and made it known to me that he wanted me to preach. Standing right there, working my job that day. And you know what? When God called me, when he spoke that to me, it was just as I knew just exactly who was talking to me. And what he wanted me to do was just as plain to me as anything had ever been, that he called me to preach. And I know you've heard it said that it's the highest Christian calling that there is. And I don't have any problem with that. I believe that. But I want to tell you this today. My call to the ministry is not the most important call that I've ever had. When God called me to account for my sin and called me to repentance, if it had not been for that, my call to the ministry wouldn't have been worth anything, would it? I believe God calls people to repentance. You know, we extend the invitation. Sometimes we stand up here and we may have a sermon and we may have a song afterwards and we may say the mourner's bench, the altar here is open to you. Let's have a song. Let's have an invitation. But I want you to know something today, lost friend. It's not my invitation. We're just extending that invitation that come from God when God said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. We extend God's invitation to you to come to him and to seek him and to be saved. Where are you today? Where do you stand with God today? You know what? You may be sitting here this morning in this service. You may have at times when God called to you the way he did to Adam, when God called to you to give account of yourself unto him, you may have just turned a deaf ear to it, turned it off, pushed it away. No, not interested. You know, God will let you do that. I mean, if that's what you choose to do, it's hard to do, isn't it? But he'll let you do it. But I want you to know something, and it's dangerous. It's dangerous, dangerous, dangerous not to take God's call, not to listen to God. So where do you stand? Are you like Adam? You know, I'm going to tell you something today. And this is not something that I can do by my own strength. And anybody that's been saved today can tell you the same thing. We don't do this by our own strength. But because of what God has done for us, we have great confidence in that. And the love that God gives us in our hearts when he saves us, it drives away that fear. And today, I don't have the fear of death that I used to have. When I think about the Lord Jesus Christ splitting the sky and coming back in all of his glory, think about that. The Lord Jesus in all of his majesty with all of his holy angels, the skies rolling back like a scroll, and the Lord coming back, the Lord descending upon this earth with great vengeance and coming to receive those that are his. When I think about that scene, it doesn't bother me the way that it used to. It bothers me now in behalf of those that are not ready, but it used to just scare me to death about myself, about my own condition. But God took those fears away when he saved me, and he gave me what some of our Sunday school classes studied about today, blessed assurance that everything is well with my soul. Jesus said in the 9th chapter of Matthew, if you don't think repentance is a calling, Jesus said, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. God called me to account for my sins. God asked me one day this question that he asked Adam, where are you? And God called me to repentance. And when I became willing to let God have his way with me and trust him for salvation, and God saved my soul, he called me to sainthood. I want to tell you something today, folks. You may think the preacher is the only one who has a calling. You're wrong. If you've been saved by God's grace, you've been called. Not only have you been called to account for your sins, not only have you been called to repentance, but you've been called to a godly lifestyle. You've been called to be saints. You read in Paul's epistles, he wrote when he would write to the Romans, to the Corinthians, he would use that term, you are called to be saints. There is a calling that we all, as God's people, that we all have. We are partakers, according to Hebrews 3 and 1, we are partakers of the heavenly calling. And I thank God that I am. I thank God that He loved me enough to call me one day and said, "Where are you? Where do you stand before me? Where, give account to yourself." I'm glad that God loved me enough to do that. I'm thankful that He loved me enough that He called me to repentance, that He called me to come before Him as a broken and a bruised and a crushed sinner and repent of my sins before Him. If it hadn't been for that, I couldn't have found my way to God. Because Jesus said, if you don't repent, you'll perish. You'll perish. So I'm going to ask you this one last time. We're going to stand and sing. But I'm going to ask you this today, sinner. Where are you? Where are you? Where do you stand with God? When God knocks on your heart and you know what? I said earlier that you can fool people, and you can. But I'll tell you what, there's some things, you need to understand this, there's some things that you're not doing anything but fooling yourself. There's some things you're not even fooling the people of God. You said are the sound of the truth, and you say, "God doesn't ever deal with me." I don't believe that for a minute. I don't believe it. I believe you're just lying to yourself. Because you know what the Bible tells me? Jesus said He will reprove. The Holy Spirit will reprove. That means convict. He will do His work. I'll tell you what, we can count on the Holy Spirit. When the truth of God's Word goes out, you can depend upon the Holy Spirit to convict people of their sins. He will absolutely do it. So if you sit by and you say, "Well, God's not dealing with me at all," friends, listen, you can lie to yourself if you want to, but you're only going to deceive yourself. The best thing for you to do is to answer up. When God sends that call out to you, "Where are you?" You respond to God. You respond to His voice. And you let Him have His way with you. And you'll benefit. You'll benefit if you'll do that very thing. Let's stand and sing.